Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, Alex here. I just wanted to take a moment to thank everyone who's been kind enough to engage with us in recent months and give you all some important updates. Firstly, I want to thank all of you who've left us reviews, recommended us to your friends, and shared our content via social media. We're only a small production company, so support like that goes a long way towards helping us grow. You people are excellent and are going to be getting bonus XP. Secondly, I can confirm that we are working on bringing you all a whole load of merchandise, and we'll be giving you more info on that just as soon as we finish launching the Magnus Archives, directly into people's brains via their ears. Finally, I just wanted to let you know that nominations for the People's Podcast Award are open until the end of April, and Rusty Quill Gaming is registered. It would be an amazing boost for us if we were nominated, and it's something that you can help us with right now for free. Like, you could go online, do it, and be back before the theme tune even finished. No, seriously, you wouldn't even need to pause it. In fact, if you'd have gone online when I said just then, you'd already be done. That's how quick it is. Just go to podcastawards.com, scroll down to Games and Hobbies and type Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast and our URL, which is rustyquill.com. Heck, you could even vote for the Magnus Archives in the Arts category while you're there. And if you're feeling extra generous, you could nominate us for the People's Choice Award too. Just be sure to leave your name and email address to prove that you aren't a simulacrum. Our team spend a lot of time, money, and effort to bring you all this content for free, and it would be an amazing way to thank them for all their hard work if you were to help out by nominating us. So thanks in advance from me, all of the crew at Rusty Towers, and the London Rangers, we're still working on the name. Enjoy today's episode. Welcome to a special episode of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Newell, and with me today I have...
Mike LeBeau.
Martin Pratt.
Johnny Sims.
James Ross.
Oh, new faces, new people. What's going on?
Mine is old and tedious.
Yours is old and tedious.
Familiar, like an old pair of slippers that you just want to shove your foot in.
You're like a coat that I keep insisting on wearing even though I know I need to get rid of it.
I'm watching his face decay right now.
I've got moths in my pocket.
That's a curious thing to have.
Yes.
So you may have noticed that it's an almost completely different set of people today, and that's because we're doing a Meet the Crew. Now, to make our podcast happen takes a lot of people, more people than you hear in your actual podcasting ears. And so we're going to be doing a couple of these to actually meet who these people are. So without further ado, I'm going to start going around the table and introducing some people. So let's skip you, James, because we know who you are.
I'm taking the credit for anything that Sophie's done because she couldn't make it, so I'm taking her place.
We do have an artist.
And her glory.
We do have an artist called Sophie. Again, all the profiles are available on the website. Sophie has been doing excellent work. She couldn't be here, which is a shame, so that's why James is filling in today.
Hello.
Next we have...
Johnny Sims. I am the narrator and writer of the Magnus Archives, which you may also be listening to. You may be more familiar with Spooky Me. That's not how I sound ever on any podcast, but I'm here as well.
Next we have...
Martin Bratt.
Yes. Now, a lot of people won't realise that technically Martin's the oldest member of Rusty Quill. He predates all of the cast, he predates all of the rest of the crew, and why is that?
Because I put the website there.
That's did.
That's what I got and done.
And he was born in 1712.
Yes. Now, the thing with Martin, he's single-handedly responsible for things actually working. So...
Working.
Well, in air quotes. But nonetheless, like, genuinely, Martin's the reason that things make it to your devices of choice. So we're very happy to have Martin. And what do you do outside of Rusty Quill?
Outside of that, that's actually my day job, but for another company.
A proper person.
A proper person.
And next we have...
Me, Michael Bow. I'm a guy who helps out occasionally doing the things.
So Mike's going to be helping with the edits for the Magnus Archives.
Yes.
And a bunch of other stuff. And a bunch of us have already appeared on the Happy Go Lucky Scamps.
Yes, that's right, on my YouTube channel that I have outside of the Rusty Quill.
Indeed.
Which is consequentially how I managed to meet all of you guys.
Now, I didn't sound too happy about that.
All I can say is we did a 24-hour live stream. James, you were there.
I was. You were quite sleepy.
Yes. I think you were there while I was awake for hours 27 to 31.
That sounds about right.
So, yeah, it was
more than a 24-hour...
It takes a lot of setup time.
Oh, yeah. Live streams are... There's a reason we don't do live streams. They're a nightmare. So today we're playing a game called Super Fight. If anyone's played Cards Against Humanity, it gets compared to that quite a lot. It has a lot of similarities to it. But effectively, what we're going to be doing is generating, using a deck of cards, various sort of fight scenarios with ridiculous characters, and then deciding who would win, and whoever comes up with the best offering is sort of the winner for that round. So I'm going to work through the basic rules quite quickly, and then after that we'll just start playing and see how it pans out. So, everyone... At the start, gets 3 white cards and 5 black cards.
Should we draw them now?
Yeah, let's draw them now.
Yeah, draw
1,
them now.
2, 3, and 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Now, that's your hand. Next, we pick a player to be the ref for the first fight. I'll do that for the sake of ease, okay? So, I draw a white card and 2 black cards and place them on the table. This is our sort of antagonist. Now, your white card is your noun. So, our antagonist is Darth Vader, who can only see movement and has no bones. So, now what we need to do is everyone else has to choose 1 white card, which is sort of their noun, it's sort of the root of the character, and then 1 black card, which is their offering into this gladiatorial arena for beating Darth Vader, who can only see movement and has no bones. So, everyone, pick who you're going to do. Obviously, because I'm reffing this one, I won't be suggesting something. James, what are you playing?
I'm going to play the Child Beauty Pageant Queen.
Okay.
Who explodes if they stop moving.
So what you're saying is Darth Vader can definitely see you you explode.
I'm doubling down. It's the thing that he would least expect. This is Hannibal going through the Alps in the middle of winter. I'm going to emerge with 1 elephant. It's going to be great.
I like it.
Johnny. I'm going to play a sharpshooter.
Okay.
With super strength, so he can probably have either a bigger gun, a cannon,
or pull the trigger really easily.
really,
just break the gun, but with his super strength.
He only gets one shot.
He's sharpshooting a trebuchet. He's just holding a trebuchet.
Very accurate trebuchet. Okay, Martin, what are you bringing to the table?
I'm bringing George W. Bush.
Love it.
And he is a believer and is convinced his opponent means bodily harm to Bieber.
Ooh, big stakes there.
Hi.
And Mike.
Hi. Well, I'm actually going to go for Martha Stewart,
okay,
who has a battleship. And so I'm going to sit off the coast and bomb Vader with his no bones, possibly gelatinous frame from a distance.
Okay, now the ref picks a direction, left or right. I'm going to pick left, okay? Ooh. So all of you, pick the worst card that you have that's a black card, and then pass it and play it against the person to your left. So, for instance, James, whatever you play will be coming into effect on Martha Stewart with a battleship. You want to sort of cripple that character. You want to render it impotent and useless so that yours can reign supreme.
Do I play it out loud?
So, James, what are you playing?
I'm going to play... So Martha Stewart has a battleship, but she's three stories tall, so she's just going to fall off or sink it.
Oh, you've scuppered my plan.
Yeah.
You sunk his battleship. Oh. Mike, what are you playing against Martin?
So George W. Bush is a believer and is convinced his opponent means Bieber bodily harm. But unfortunately, he's also pregnant, which means that he's going to find it very difficult to move and possibly will need a good lie down for a long period of time.
The idea of him spawning more jumping bushes.
Yeah.
Martin. Cripple Johnny's character.
Maybe a sharp shooter, but he's also wearing a suit of armour, which is going to strongly impede his ability to operate any kind of firearm.
I mean, it's true, but he's also very protected. He's a sharp shooter, traditionally a very static profession. Oh. He's super strong and armoured. I mean...
Have you ever worn a suit of armour helmet, like... You can't see.
I'm wearing one right now, as far as the listeners at home know. And your child beauty pageant queen, James, is handcuffed to a golf cart.
So your beauty pageant queen, who has to keep moving or she'll explode, is handcuffed to a golf cart, which presumably she's driving, otherwise she'll die.
Yeah, if it goes below 50 miles an hour, it explodes.
There's a film in that, I'm sure. Somewhere make there, big there money. Is, yeah. I'd cast someone with like a plastic face or like with no emotion.
I want a tabula rasa that people can project themselves onto to play the child beauty pageant queen. I think that would be good.
What she's got is she's got one foot on the accelerator and the other skipping slightly outside of the golf cart with her hand on the wheel for dear life.
That technical system is known as the semi-flint.
Oh, I see.
So, now that we've got all that set up, we have to figure out who's going to win. It's all each versus Darth Vader, though, not Battle Royale. So it's a targeted one. So Darth Vader, who can only see movement and has no bones. Now, the thing that I'm thinking, though, is that Darth Vader is already mostly robotic, given the whole robotic arms, robotic legs. So having no bones isn't actually that much of a disadvantage, because that's pretty much his basic state anyway.
He's going to have an exoskeleton. What need has he for an endoskeleton?
Indeed.
Also,
so,
I mean, essentially, he is like a jelly in a mould.
Mm.
He's just being held together as a gelatinous ooze.
And so, also, Darth Vader, the Force has nothing to do with your bones. It's all to do with midichlorians in your blood.
Oh, of course, I forgot. Now, the really awkward thing I'm noticing, though, is that, yes, Darth Vader can only see movement, but he's got the Force, so he can also quite literally see the future, including the future, like, half a second in front. That's how their Jedi reactions work. So you're getting a bit of an issue with a character who has no bones and it doesn't matter and can only see movement, but can sense people without seeing them.
Ah, does he have the Death Star at this point?
I'm going to go ahead and say no. So this is Vader pre-Death Star. I'm just going to have to rule out George W. Bush, though, because, I mean, if Obi-Wan Kenobi can sense when 1,000 voices cry out in peril, okay, George Bush is pregnant. Vader's sensing that. He knows.
Also,
there's no way you're sneaking up on
also,
Vader.
To be fair, you're probably... George Bush is probably singing Justin Bieber hits under his breath.
Oh, yeah,
just
that's
all
true.
The time.
Like, I'm afraid, like, I don't see... Correct me if I'm wrong, anyone, but I think Bush is just out of this.
He's going to be... very erratic at this point. He is hormonal, he is a believer, and he believes that Darth Vader is going to cause bodily harm to Bieber. That is a powerful force. That is stronger than the Force.
Although,
I would be
note,
to
it is George W. Bush, not President George W. Bush.
He's in civilian life. He's taken time out from his wonderful painting.
I'm going to be honest. Like, I just think Bush is out of it for me.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
All right.
So that's leaving us with Martha Stewart, who has a battleship and is 3 stories tall.
The child beauty pageant child queen beauty that pageant, explodes yes. as they stop moving. Also, they're handcuffed to a golf cart. Let's be honest, that acts out straight away. Because either the child beauty pageant queen can sit in the golf cart and explode. And that's fine if the child beauty queen and the golf cart is near Darth Vader. But probably not.
The problem is she's just going to bomb it at Darth Vader at full pelt. And he's just going to use the force to stop her and she'll explode.
Does Martha Stewart's battleship have a small exhaust point, no bigger than a womp rat?
Also, actually, we haven't really discussed where this is taking place.
In Super Fight, if nothing is specified, then it is assumed to take place in downtown Manhattan.
Downtown Manhattan.
Okay. Well, that is logical.
Okay, so we're in downtown Manhattan.
So on the one hand, a series of waterways where you could stage the battleship. Yeah. On the other hand, you've got a battleship and you're fighting an infantry war. That's like that. You've got an artillery piece that you're using to fight a single infantryman.
That's very true. And I've also got Rihanna, as far as I'm aware, from the hit film Battleship.
Right.
So that's true.
Has Battleship.
Yeah, just so, the film.
So it's Martha Stewart waving a DVD, but she's massive.
Yeah,
that's
3 stories. But she could frisbee that straight at Darth Vader.
Oh, it's a 3 stories tall copy of Battleship.
She could use it, like hold it up to the sun, and use it to reflect sunlight into the eyes of Darth Vader. That's huge. That's a really big DVD.
That's probably enough to melt him.
Yeah, Darth Vader's only tiny. But like the walkie-talkie building, like he should bend it slightly, I imagine, Martha Stewart with her big domestic hand. she'd mold it like she was kneading dough. Except what she'd really need is the destruction of Darth Vader. And
okay, so Martha Stewart's a good contender. And what was yours?
I'm going to politely withdraw.
I've got a sharpshooter with super strength and a suit of armour.
Now,
that's a tough one.
That's a tough one because, I mean, the thing with the suit of armour super strength combo means that's a big chunk of armour. Yep. What we're doing here is we're dancing around the fact that you're bringing a tank to the table here, like a literal tank, because he's got super strength, so he can just carry a tank as his armor or her armor. In fairness,
you could carry Martha Stewart, even though she's 3 stories tall. We could work together
on a battleship. Yeah,
on a battleship.
But that's not how it works. Only one of us can come out.
There can be only one.
If anybody is going to assemble a coalition of the willing against Darth Vader, it would be George W. Bush. So
that's true.
And he's already gone.
All of these comrades.
So I'm going to leave this open to the table now. Who do we think? Sharpshooter, who is...
He's very still, so Darth Vader can't easily see him. But fundamentally, I don't really see what he's actually bringing against Darth Vader in terms of violence.
I mean, if Darth Vader can stop laser blasts, which despite the fact we all see them on the film, technically move at the speed of light, I feel like a bullet would be a short order.
No, absolutely. And I think Martha Stewart being 3 stories tall, that's a big windpipe.
That's huge, yeah. Massive.
Like, he is going to have real trouble crushing that, especially without any bones.
I agree.
Mm. Wouldn't he just lodge the DVD in her throat?
He could try. He could try, but this is a huge... We're talking huge.
I mean, bear in mind, we watched in... I can't believe I remember this. In Attack of the Clones, you watch Yoda struggle under carrying a column. He says size doesn't matter. He's lying. Like, he lies through his teeth at Luke. Size matters in the Force. I think Martha Stewart's clinched that. Unless someone disagrees, I'm going to have to give that to Martha Stewart.
Oh my god, this is the first time I think I've ever won something in a card game.
In which case then, Darth Vader has been killed, Martha Stewart goes into the sort of a discard pile.
Where's the discard pile?
We just redo. So you are the referee this time, Mike.
Ooh.
You are not playing a character. You are instead drawing the antagonist from these piles here. So that's one white and two blacks.
Two black. Okay, so, you guys ready? We are fighting... A musketeer who, first of all, can match opponent's size. Ooh. And secondly, is invisible.
Ooh.
So he can match someone's size, but you'd never know. Also, you may not even know he's a musketeer, or she for that matter.
Ooh. There's a subtlety to this one that was lacking in Darth Vader with no bones.
I assume the primary weapon of a musketeer is a musket, so at least he's not silent in his fighting.
He's going to be spending a good 3 minutes, like, tamping down the gun column.
Well, let's assume that they tamp down the gun ahead of time so that you don't just see nothing but hear...
Yeah,
right. A large rack of also invisible muskets.
This gun is pre-tamped. He also has a conveyor belt of pre-tamped guns.
I'm pretty sure that musketeers, if you're a musketeer, you would have a sword and you would also have a musket.
What are you playing, Martin?
Well, I'm going to go for one of the best sort of thing riders in history of Genghis Khan.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah,
the thing that I'm going to give him to ride is a tank. So that's Genghis Khan driving a tank.
Musketeer's going to have a hard time getting through
that. That's tough.
That's terrifying. That's what
you can be as invisible as you want and the size of a tank, but you know, you're still fleshy. And
I would argue that
tank.
He has to be the size of Genghis Khan.
I'd be willing to debate that.
Well, I am going to say high school marching band. But with acid blood. So as soon as a wealth of undefended targets, but as soon as the musketeer invisibly stabs even one of them.
Ooh.
Oh.
Clever.
I'm going to play the disembodied head. Of course, the size of normal head. So when the musketeer shrinks down.
Oh, nice!
Size of a head. But the disembodied head can summon an army of internet trolls. Some of which are a normal size. And could probably stamp a tiny invisible musketeer to death.
That's a really strong contender.
That's awesome.
You see, I was approaching this from much more like, how do we deal with the subtlety of the character? So I'm a little bit of a different one here. Now it's Sherlock Holmes. Okay. Key for his observation. The kind of person who notices things out of place, even if someone was invisible. But I thought I'd up the stakes. Sherlock Holmes, who's lived his entire life unable to see. He has all of the deductive powers of Sherlock Holmes, but never learned to rely on petty eyes.
Wow.
So,
that card.
So he's got impeccable hearing.
He has perfect hearing, amazing sense of smell. Musketeer, if he happens to bump into the musketeer, he'll be able to tell age, point of origin.
Trouble is, it's Sherlock Holmes, not Sherlock Holmes and Watson, and Watson's the one with the gun.
And Holmes is the one who really enjoys cocaine. So if he smells that around...
Or not, possibly.
You might get a bit distracted. Yeah, well, where's the cocaine? Found it! Found it! Brilliant! Great!
Mystery solved!
Let me tell you all about me for many hours.
So which way around are we going?
Shall we go, seeing as we went clockwise last time, shall we go counterclockwise this time? So we'll start with Mr. Newell.
So you have to negate the disembodied head
to negate
some
the other way.
I had a really good one here we going go. That way around.
So, your disembodied head may be able to summon an army of internet trolls, but the head itself is a baby.
It's a baby's head. If anything, you've accentuated my advantage.
Now, I'd like you to find me a baby capable of having the mental acumen required to summon an army of internet trolls, so much as lying there going, why am I only a head? Why am I here? Where is my mother?
They're internet trolls. It's dead easy. It's a woman baby.
I feel like my card has been negated somehow.
Hashtag Gamergate.
If you say it three times, they appear.
And we kill them all.
Okay, so the high school marching band might have acid blood, but they also have tiny bird legs. they march adorably.
It's just very disquieting.
But if anything, all you've done is made them a more appealing target to the musketeer.
Have you ever seen a chicken run? Not the film franchise, but literally a chicken running. That is terrifying. Yeah, exactly. They can run quick.
What you've also done is shrunk the size of the musketeer.
That's true.
That's true.
Who is also invisible. Now walking among
them. Well, I mean, you guys have all been relatively unsuccessful in sort of negating us, but I'm going to completely destroy Genghis Khan driving a tank.
Oh, God.
Because it's made of paper.
But then again, paper cuts. Oh, they're the worst.
They are.
Are they worse than a tank shell? Is that there?
I think Genghis Khan
would be quite weak in a paper tank.
Having never been to war, I can confidently say that a paper cut is far worse than a tank.
Yeah. If the pen is mightier than the sword, then the paper is the perfect defence.
Yes.
Also,
yes.
I'd like to point out that Genghis Khan has started a land war in Asia, and like, even with a tank, I reckon that's going to be a problem.
But the problem with Genghis Khan is he's going to be going, ha ha, horse bow, and then he's going to get shot by an invisible musketeer quite quickly.
Straight through the tank.
I mean, there's such a thing as a learning curve that's too steep to learn, and getting shot might be one of them.
Shot through the heart, and I am to blame.
You give love a bad name.
Go on then. Try and beat Sherlock Holmes, who can't see.
Well, what I'm going to do, a musketeer has a very good weapon for destroying things that are sort of balloon-shaped, like, say, a blimp.
Oh, no! So Sherlock Holmes can't see, but he's in a blimp. Yeah. Let's see how good his sense of smell is from 1,000 feet in there.
Can I clarify this? So Sherlock Holmes that can't see... So we've got Sherlock Holmes that can't see in a blimp. Is it that he now specifically can't see, but only when he's in a blimp? Could he negate that by, for instance, stepping off the blimp?
Look, he's in a blimp. If he steps off the blimp, he falls. Yeah.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong here, but blimps need to take off and land at some point. So I'm going to suggest that he maybe does that during one of the times when it's
attached
to the ground.
Actually, it depends on the blimp. A number of them during the golden age of the blimp would never see ground because it would affect the buoyancy and it was too inefficient to let that much air and put it back in. So they would mast. So that's why the Empire State Building has that big thing on top of it. It was originally put there so that it would eventually be able to moor blimps against it.
I didn't hear that as an interesting fact. I heard that as, James, I don't want your help. I spit on your assistance.
Also, you do have to remember we are in downtown Manhattan because it has not otherwise specified.
Oh.
Yeah. So
this blimp's getting moored at the first opportunity.
Yeah.
Sherlock Holmes is going to go down, pinpoint the musketeer, go back up to the blimp and then
I don't think Sherlock Holmes can actually get off the blimp for the purposes of this fight. He is in a blimp.
Oh. We'll have to assume that the musketeer can disappear in that time, given that he is or she is invisible.
The musketeer could go on the
blimp. Well, Mike, you're gonna have to arbitrate. We've got too many options.
He's gonna shoot the blimp out of the sky very slowly with very small holes. It's
a war of attrition.
Basically, he'd take one shot and then while he's tapping it, just watch it slowly let out air, and then take another shot and incrementally take it down. I think this is really difficult. So what have we got, just to recap? So we've got Sherlock Holmes in a blimp
can't see, and he's in a blimp.
We've got
a disembodied head that is a baby's disembodied head, but it can summon an army of internet trolls.
Okay.
A high school marching band with tiny bird legs, but with acid blood.
Mm.
And Genghis Khan driving a tank made of paper.
Now, you see, I've got a bit of a theory here. So I think, actually, the strongest contender... Personally, I think is Genghis Khan at this point. Because, let me explain.
Controversial.
So,
you will need to explain yourself very well.
That's
a very controversial position.
I don't think he needs to explain
himself. Because we're all fairly certain that you were wrong. So this is going to be quite the speech.
So what's going to happen is, the musketeer, who is invisible and can match the opponent's size, would now be the size of Genghis Khan.
Sure.
He's now going to take a shot at the tank, which will invariably, with Genghis Khan inside this paper tank... It will more than likely go through and through the tank and miss Genghis Khan.
Statistically, that's fair.
At which point, Genghis Khan will then be able to discern the direction of the shell or the shot coming through the tank, burst through in a fit of rage, and massacre the hell out of the musketeer.
And wrapping himself like a murder present.
Exactly.
Okay.
Like a sexy stripper, but not.
Of death.
From a cake that's actually a paper tank.
Here to conquer. Okay, fine. Yeah.
I feel like you're underestimating, though. The musketeer is a trained musketeer.
Mm.
This is a musketeer who knows what they're doing and would probably just need to, like, make a point of running away a little bit, and that's kind of dealt with.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be honest.
True.
I'm thinking that the marching band has it because that's a delicious target. Yeah. And the more the musketeer attacks, the worse the situation gets.
That's true.
Also, I would point out that the musketeer will likely be French, meaning that an army of internet trolls and Genghis Khan. I mean, they're not speaking the same language. Music. The universal language.
That makes it easy. No, Johnny, you've made the fatal mistake there of assuming that having your communications interceptable by the enemy is a strategic advantage. Historically, that is not the case.
Exactly. Because this is an elaborate double bluff
that your complete ineptitude is going to lull him into a true sense of security.
Well, the thing is, the key of the marching band's entire strategy is to get stabbed.
And lose.
Right.
He's right. I mean, let's say the musketeer, the marching band has, what, 100 people? Say the musketeer stabs 40, okay? The majority are still surviving, and there's 40 people's blood's worth of acid
spread
everywhere.
All over
Manhattan.
The first person
he stabs, all right, that's his sword gone.
Yeah. Also, I do want to point out that if he were to take a shot, you have to remember he does have at least one shot before he has to re-tamp the musket. Mm. So, if he takes one shot, that shot is going to go through one person into the next one. Essentially, he could get three people with one shot.
Sure.
Depending on the distance that the marching band is
at. Or they might go through the tiny bird legs.
Two additional points. Firstly, the acid splash. Because it's high school marching band, they're going to be marching in formation. You kill one, splash, and there's going to be a domino effect.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're resistant to their own acid. Otherwise, it would melt through their
Oh, whoa,
their
whoa, whoa, whoa.
Now we're bringing in
none of that. You see, I was going to jump to your defense and saying, have you seen a marching band? That much coordination? Just swap key and everyone knows to spread out.
Yeah.
But you're losing me on this extra features. Come
also,
on.
Well, like, obviously, the acid doesn't melt their veins.
Oh, no. They're on a time limit. They only have the time that they can take to get to the musketeer before their own innards burn them to death.
Have you ever put a tiny bird in a bath of acid? It doesn't go well.
Martin, also, stop sharing.
Also, when we say acid blood, that's quite a broad range of acid. So it could be an extremely strong acid, or it could be like vinegar.
Citric.
Or citric acid. So they might have like blood lemon made of lemon juice. In which case, that's just like people who are going to die very soon.
It's a very valid
when they
point.
Die, loads of middle class people come out with their plates of salmon. Ooh, this is perfect.
Hopefully they'll do it on pancake day.
I'm gonna have it with kale.
Johnny, I feel
toast.
Like your character's dying due to basically lack of specificity.
Well, I mean, I was assuming that by acid blood they were referring to the acid blood trope.
Assuming makes an ass out of you and acid blood.
That's not how that works.
I'm sure it does.
That's yeah.
Well, I'm going to remove Sherlock Holmes because he's currently trapped in a blimp, unable to operate it because he can't see. So let's just get Sherlock Holmes
he
out
tries
of
and there's a horrible blimp crash.
Okay, all right. And I don't know. I'm still feeling that maybe the army of internet trolls is possibly a contender because you don't know how big this army is. I mean, with them being internet trolls, it could just be a group of people going, oh, we don't know what to do in a social situation.
Wait, hang on.
And then you put them on
an
the internet.
An army of internet trolls. We all know that the way that trolls operate is that one troll will open 6 or 7 accounts claiming to be multiple people to get their job done. So this army, in inverted commas, is actually about 4 people who have 70 different social media accounts each to make a big noise
and
about
no
it.
Combat training, crucially, but against an invisible musketeer.
The musketeer isn't going to know about this because he exists in an era before social media. So he's not going to know about the massive numerical inferiority.
Unless possibly he's a musketeer who has come into the present era to downtown Manhattan specifically on a quest.
That's true. Well, I mean, to clarify
quest
this...
to mess given up a baby's head.
At least... Okay, an army, right?
What better cause?
The term army implies more than one person.
Yep.
Now, that I will concede. Most armies have more than one person, yes.
My argument, like a stool, is constructed on 3 legs. So the disembodied head of a baby, like that... So what that's going to do is shrink the musketeer down to the size of a baby's head. Then that presupposes that even if the musketeer is really, really tiny at that point, that like one single normal-sized person, just by walking around, eventually, by random chance, is just going to step on the musketeer the size of the baby's head.
And it's a musketeer. It's not going to... I mean, musketeers traditionally don't tend to use sabre. They tend to use épée. It's a stabbing weapon. It's basically a person versus a mosquito.
Yeah, but also it just says that it's only the musketeer that shrinks down in size, not his musket or his sword.
Oh, so that's a good point.
That's a perfectly normal size.
I would
musket
draw your attention to the word can.
Oh, I see.
Oh, no.
So it's his choice whether or not he's able to.
I mean, I don't want to be the one to just
can do it.
Cause all of your intricately constructed arguments to tumble. But he doesn't have to be the size of a baby's disembodied head.
So you just have a baby's head that's going to get punted at the first opportunity. And then your untrained internet trolls, who are basically just the average 21st century person, but a bit mean.
And
they're going to get massacred one at a time.
Well, but they're all perfectly expendable, which means that I think you should commission me as the winner because then they
at
will
least you're
all
doing
die.
A public service.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you defeat a disembodied head? It's already disembodied.
Well, at that point, you have an NFL commentator on the side going, and the musketeer is lining up the shot. Poof! And it's out of the park.
Also,
I don't
actually,
know how American football works.
Right, you're going to have to eliminate some people. Mate.
Okay, all right. So I'm afraid, I think I'm going to eliminate the baby's head.
Worse than racism.
I think that we've picked apart the argument. The stool has toppled, unfortunately, to one side at least. Which leaves us with Genghis Khan in a paper tank, or alternatively, the high school marching band with chicken legs.
You're
filled.
Apparently rapidly melting.
Do you know what? I might take this to a consensus, seeing as we're down to 2. So, Martin, do you want to kick us off? Which would you...
I'm going to go for Genghis Khan.
You're going to go for Genghis Khan.
Because that's my card.
Yeah.
I think you're all being very unfair about acid blood, so I'm sticking with my high school marching band.
Okay. James Ross.
Oh, I think it is going to be the high school marching band.
Okay.
Sheer attrition and numbers, high school marching band.
And the high school marching band it is.
Yeah.
That's it. Well played.
So, next up, Martin, you are refereeing. Everyone, stack up on cards. Who is our antagonist, Martin?
What we've got is a wizard.
Okay.
And that wizard lays exploding eggs.
Yeah. Oh. And?
And is armed with a shotgun that shoots shotguns.
Oh, goodness gracious me, that's quite a powerful card.
I really want to play that in World of Warcraft.
Is it a shotgun? So the things that it shoots are shotguns, which subsequently shoot, or are they just like...
Well, I would presume it's not shotguns that are shooting, it's just actual shotguns. Mm. But, I mean, you think of that flying at you at speed. Arguably, that's more damaging than some shot.
Mm. How fast as does the referee, I think
it's your decision.
What I essentially see is a wizard that is guarded both from the front with his shotgun that shoots shotguns, creating a sort of volley of fire, either shotguns or shotguns that are shooting shots. Some of them might go off sporadically. And then also is protected from the rear with his exploding eggs. So I think you're going to... Anyone who could attack this wizard from the side might be at a distinct advantage.
Does he have like a cutaway robe at the back?
Yes.
Is he going in for surgery? Is that why he's got a cutaway robe? Is the surgery to address the fact that he's got a cloaca through which he lays eggs?
Essentially,
it'll be presumably steel-lined or something similar. There's a manufacturing process happening in that cloaca.
Steel-lined.
He's also a wizard, so he is magic as well.
Yeah, okay. This is a really tough one.
Medical science is the real magic. Yeah.
Go on,
I've just got a view of this wizard kind of stood, but with his body horizontal. And so, from one end, he's just spraying eggs, and from the other, he's firing a shotgun, which invariably fires.
So, as long as you're coming at him laterally, you're okay.
So, the devil is coming after him.
Oh, big play, yes. Big play
from
Johnny.
From whom he gets his power, and not just the devil, 100 of them.
100
of the devil.
Wow.
Wow. Okay, so I'm going to fight the wizard with Katniss Everdeen. Who will be drawing a character card as her 500-pound pet. That is going to be a fainting goat. A 500-pound fainting goat.
Okay, the stakes are really quite high to the point where I'm not sure what I can bring to this table. Okay, right. Well, as I have insufficient power, I'm going to have to go for the chaos play. Evil doll. Whose bottom half... is a ninja.
Wow.
Known to find the weakest points of their enemy and attack laterally.
Interesting.
Weakest point of his enemy is childhood innocence. I think you're fine.
Right, you.
All right.
It just says it's an evil doll, not an actual, like, moving doll.
But the bottom half is a ninja, so it's just a ninja with a doll hat. That's what's going on here.
Traditionally, all the ninja's armaments are on the upper half of their body.
Ah, well, that could be a little bit
Yeah,
awkward.
But the technical wording is the bottom half of the evil doll is
ninja. An entire ninja.
No, you've got an entire
ninja. Oh, so you've got a whole ninja and then the top half of a doll just kind of perched on the top. Like,
well,
some
I'll put this to the group. The technical wording is bottom half is ninja. Do we just mean he has a sort of ninjutsu bottom half, like garbed as a ninja, or an actual ninja is the doll's bottom half?
I think it's funny to have an actual ninja as the doll's bottom half, because then you've just got like a doll's head on the top, and that implies that the ninja is very heavily into 1990s Riot Girl music.
I would agree. Yeah,
I think that's a strong character choice.
Okay, there we go then.
I think, the ninja, it should be the doll's bottom is a ninja. Just that specific part. Yes. And so my gambit, which I'm going to lay down, is actually the Marshmallow Man.
Oh, big play.
To absorb any possible eggs or alternatively shotgun-fired shotguns. And, it's not just the Marshmallow Man. No, it's 50 of them.
Oh, wow. Stakes here are very high.
50 Marshmallow Men in an army only fit for a campfire and sticks.
Mm. Well, I'm going to go ahead and just concede this one as well. Like, the power levels at play here are far in excess of my ninja doll. Unless people think that the element of surprise and sneaking up from the side is genuinely sufficient to keep this evil doll ninja in the race.
Let's see what gets played on it.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Let's see what happens.
So,
which way are we heading?
We are going to our left.
Well, your fainting goat is wearing sharpened stilettos, so it's harder for it to balance.
Your evil doll bottom half ninja, is a ninja combination is
fantastic and doesn't need modification anyway.
Armed with an axe, not the most elegant weapon.
Okay, I've got an axe.
No, just the evil doll part is armed with the axe.
tiny adorable little axe. Like it's the cleaving alternative to a toffee hammer. That's the scale we're talking.
Well, like I said, I'm going for chaos in this one. I'm afraid that your 50 marshmallow men are all narcoleptic.
They've had too much cocoa.
Actually, all I've done is provide downtown Manhattan with the sweetest feast they've ever had.
S'mores for all.
Downtown Manhattan seems to keep getting attacked by marshmallow men. I mean, I know these ones aren't giant, but there's 50 lots of them.
What they didn't notice is that last time a marshmallow man was there, it was pregnant and it laid.
This is why they won't take marshmallows on planes anymore.
Luckily, this wizard isn't making any loud noises that could wake up all the marshmallows.
That's fortunate. And you're 100 devils.
That's 100 the devils.
100 That's a big plane, the 100 the devils.
I don't know, but they're allergic to all animals. Literally every animal. So that man who's walking his dog down the street, as he slowly passes the 100 devils and they all break out into some sort
of sneezing fit. That 500 pound fainting goat.
Exactly. That's going to be a big problem, literally.
Mm. Well then.
Oh, this is quite difficult.
So I think the devil being allergic to all animals might be a problem, particularly there's 100 of them, because the devil, of course, is goat from the waist down. So that he's allergic to his own legs.
Now, but the question is the severity of this allergy.
Yeah.
And I mean, also, antihistamines are a thing.
That's true,
It's
actually.
The devil. The devil's known for being wily. I feel like he'd stock up on antihistamines just so he could win on a technicality.
Yeah, but could the devil afford them, though? Because the devil obviously opposes the NHS, so he's thrown back on the NHS.
But he does hold the licensing to all rock and roll music that was ever made.
And he is behind Big Pharma.
Oh, yeah, good point.
I feel like the devil's basically got this one in the bag.
If he had an allergic reaction, would anyone be able to tell with all that sort of red skin?
Maybe that's what it is.
Break out in redness and swelling. He's just a normal guy. He's just half a goat.
He's just swollen a little bit. Yeah. You can hardly tell.
He used to be a violinist, like a really good one, and now he's quite cross.
Suddenly
all the time.
I feel really bad for the devil in South Park. I mean, he was already a sympathetic character. But honestly, I mean, like, he's so bulbous and it's just this poor guy.
Well,
he's going to beat up a wizard.
Yeah.
100 times.
I mean, the wizard with shotguns, though, and exploding it, like, I feel like this is a wizard who's just like, no one comes near me and just fires everything at all times.
Mm. Absolutely. But fundamentally, wizards traditionally get their power from the devil.
Mm. Depending on your universe.
The ultimate source of all evil versus just like some guy who can like be tedious at parties and likes juggling. Like, I think... And use that as
going with it. I just like to ramp up the power of the. He is an actual wizard. He's not a magician.
Right. Which tier is he on? Is he Harry Potter? Is he, you know, more like fantasy wizard from all time? You know,
going
he
with the old style, old style sort of Gandalf-y.
Okay.
So it's Gandalf who lays eggs and is armed with a shotgun. Shall not pass as he bends over.
So let's break this down then. All we have in Johnny is raw power.
Oh, yeah.
Like the devil, 100 devils, even with antihistamines in tow, is still raw power.
He might be a little bit out of it, like a little bit dizzy.
He's got a bit of a head cold. Streaming.
Actually, I'm going to throw a little bit of a spanner in the works because I know with antihistamines, you can only buy so many of them over the counter. And also, that means it is the devil repeated 100 times.
Oh, yeah, it would choke on the system, wouldn't it?
You'd have to go to so many chemists in order to get that
He's
many.
He's got the time.
While this wizard is kind of wrecking downtown Manhattan.
It would pose a significant delay.
See, the thing is with the Katniss fainting goat, what I'm thinking is you're a one-shot wonder. I mean, 500 pound isn't actually that big. So you're going to have to arrange for this goat to be effectively on top of the wizard as it is in order for the fainting to come into effect. I mean, Katniss brings to the table, what, bow and arrow and public support?
Well, also being a very strong female role model. I think of all of the options, I am the most empowered and empowering. And I don't think that should be ignored. And I think that anybody that argues with that is a massive sexist.
So I'm just going to continue exactly in the same trend I was saying before and just go, well, empowering feels like a verb that shouldn't happen when there's wizards involved.
Mm.
Yeah, but Katniss's true power comes from within, which is more important. Isn't that the real lesson?
I'm going to go ahead and say, though, that my true power comes from the fact that I have the element of surprise and an axe.
Yeah, that's fine.
I feel like sneaking up on someone and axing them in the head, and it will definitely be the head because that's the part of the ninja that's holding the axe.
Yep.
Although I don't think the element of surprise actually makes so much of a difference with this wizard because he lays exploding eggs. It doesn't say anything about on command. It doesn't say that.
Oh yeah,
it's,
that's true.
It doesn't say that it's when he wants to.
So you're saying that when
eggs.
I shock this wizard, he just goes boom.
I'm saying that he's constantly laying exploding eggs, meaning that surprise. You can surprise him, fine, but can you surprise a randomly deposited exploding
egg? If you
egg?
Sneak up on a landmine, what tactical advantage is that?
Well, what I'm assuming is that the ninja will get blown away, propelling what's left of the evil doll, still wielding its axe towards the wizard. I admit that my entire tactic relies on the wizard not having the foresight to just spin in a circle firing. However, I still maintain that I stand a chance.
That's fair enough.
I've gone for solid absorption, to be honest with you. 50 marshmallows.
But they're all asleep. The devil, even if the devil's getting loads of antihistamines from 50 different chemists.
No, but I
he's still going to get them before your sleepy marshmallows.
Narcolepsy just means that you're periodically nod off and then wake up again. If there's 50 of you, I think you've neatly offset that. There's going to be at least two-thirds, three-quarters of you that are going to be awake any time.
Yeah, and it's you can get stress. Woken up. Yeah, like you can get narcolepsy, you can go under and then get woken up again.
I'm going to say what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that this is going to have to be some sort of numbers game. So okay. I'm going to eliminate the ninja and Katniss.
They were massive sexist.
I think that
racist.
Katniss can,
ninjas are a race.
Yeah. Katniss can die a martyr and sort of spread the message even further.
She had her own promotional VTs, you know. She had so much stuff to give.
Well, she's out now.
Now she's out.
And now
we're down to 50 versus 100.
So the marshmallow thing definitely is going to help sort of combat the explosive power. It's going to be able to absorb a lot of shotguns and a lot of shotgun shells. There are fewer marshmallow men, but I feel that...
I mean, the real question is, if the wizard's beholden to the devil, because, I mean, we all know that guns aren't evil, people are evil. I'm sure that's a thing that someone said.
There's a whole thing where
guns
the gun
don't kill people, robbers do.
There's a whole thing that guns don't kill people, but these guns literally do kill people.
guns themselves are firing.
Yeah,
goodness me, we'll have to accept that guns kill people. Oh.
Yes.
I can't argue with Martin's logic. I think the devil might have locked this one up.
Yes.
I think the devil just out of numbers, even maybe if it's swelling due to the...
He's sneezing a lot due to all the allergies,
maybe that's going to help absorb some things. And it's also the devil.
Yeah.
There's 100 of them.
The devil takes it.
In which case,
I think we'll take a break there and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Statement of Nathan Watts. Regarding an encounter on Old Fish Market Close, Edinburgh. Original statement get... Hello? Hello? This archive is off limits. Is anyone there? Martin? Martin, is that you? I swear, if he's brought another dog in here, I am going to peel him. Still running. let's try this again.
The Magnus Archives, a weekly horror podcast by Rusty Quill, available now from iTunes and all good podcast providers. For more information, visit rustyquill.com.
And welcome back. So, without further ado, we're into Johnny's antagonist. Johnny, who are we fighting?
Oh, this is... It's not the hardest opponent that Manhattan's ever seen. It's a gladiator.
Oh, well,
so
fine.
That's pretty tough.
Gladiators are pretty tough.
Except, he thinks the floor is lava. So, we'll mainly be staying on top of cars.
Well, yeah, sure, sure. That makes sense.
But his second attribute, and the one that I think will ultimately decide it...
You've actually broken Martin!
It's my gladiator who thinks the floor is actually lava, can't stop sobbing. He's just a gladiator.
Oh, 404, Martin not found.
He's just a gladiator trapped in a time that is not his own. Convinced the floor is lava, sitting on a car, a stopped taxi cab, sobbing to himself.
I like to think this is actually Wolf from The Gladiators. He's finally had a breakdown. He can't stop sobbing and thinks the floor is lava.
So who is going to put this poor specimen out of his misery?
I will, for I'm a Nigerian prince armed with a railgun.
Are we talking like an actual Nigerian prince or like an email scam Nigerian prince?
I think as long as he can operate a railgun, it doesn't matter.
That's fair. This actually is the Nigerian prince that everyone was emailing about and no one believed anyone.
Yep. What's great is he can email people and say, I'm going to shoot you with a railgun, and be like, nah.
It's just a scam.
So, I feel like I've got to beat the Nigerian prince more than I've got to beat the gladiator at this point. So I'm bringing to the table... identical twins that throw fireballs.
Wow. Okay.
Double the fireballs.
He already thinks the floor is lava. Fire is bad for him.
I am playing to that phobia.
Well, guys, on the back of this epic gambit, I'm going to play what I think is probably my strongest card.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hipster who actually is a hypnotist.
A hipster hypnotist.
A hipster-natist. A hipster-natist who's going to combat the gladiator with understanding.
Right.
Ah.
That's a nice approach.
Solving a therapist of his massive problems. Ooh.
I'm going to go for someone who doesn't think that the floor is lava, at least.
It's a bold play.
That's going to be an Olympic gymnast, and what that Olympic gymnast is going to be able to do is kill with a kiss.
Oh.
You're thinking pole vaulting into a kiss.
I'm thinking someone who just avoids the gladiator and then just kisses them and then they die. Mm.
That's so bittersweet, isn't it?
So I'm pretty sure I've seen that short indie movie.
Also, the gladiator might be quite happy to receive a kiss if they're sobbing. So they might welcome death.
Well, we've totally subverted this in a lovely way.
Yeah.
Okay, left or
now
right, Johnny?
Mess it up. I'm going to say... right.
Yeah, right, so I've got to defeat the hipster. Now, I'm going to just say that this hipster hypnotist is also carrying a baby.
as in carrying a baby, or as in literally...
I think they're going to be holding the baby.
Look into my eyes, Not around the eyes,
Stop looking at the baby!
Go to sleep! Shut up! Look into my eyes, Go to sleep! No, not you! Oh, God!
That's actually a really...
effective way to nullify the effectiveness of a hypnotist.
He's just going to spend all his time sending the baby to sleep.
Yeah, that's
awkward.
Are we calling them a hypnotist?
Hypnotist.
They're a hypnotist. Yeah.
So we've actually got two separate fights going on. The hipster fighting the awakeness of the baby, and the gladiator fighting his own despair.
This is the primaries, and then
I agree.
But then there's a
we'll have to see how they each deal with their own problems before we can even begin to pair these against one another.
Well, you're identical twins who throw fireballs. I'm really sorry, Alex. They've got a skunk on a stick.
Oh, gross!
And unfortunately,
that's disgusting.
They have to have this with them, and so when throwing fireballs. It's going to make it a lot more difficult to concentrate on the trajectory.
It's fine.
No wonder the gladiator's crying.
So these guys throw fireballs. So one can presume they have a basic level of hand-eye coordination. There's two of them and only one skunk on a stick.
Yeah,
one of them holds it, throws, passes it to the other. They catch it, they throw. I feel like I can dodge this quite easily.
Yeah.
However, I'm curious how your Nigerian prince is going to use a railgun when he has feet instead of hands.
The big play comes out.
Yes. That explains all the typos in their emails.
Yes, can he then just use the hands which are where
his feet are? No. Has feet instead of hands. He still has feet too. He just has feet. And then more feet.
Yeah, okay. All right, I'll have to think about that. Martin, your Olympic gymnast that can kill with a kiss is agoraphobic. How are they going to get out of the house and meet people? They're just going to be inside on the double bars, weeping about the Russian judge.
This is mostly a really psychologically unhealthy battle royale this time around. It's a lot of people with legitimate problems that need to go away and have some time for themselves.
As a psychologist, I'm going to recommend counselling at this point.
You're a hypnotist, not a psychologist.
No, he's a hypsternotist, not a hypnotist.
So my Nigerian prince, because he is a Nigerian prince, is just going to get one of his courtiers to use the railgun to shoot the gladiator.
James, I have just noticed something, and I'm dreadfully sorry to do this.
I just noticed it too.
Armed with a nail gun.
So it's a nail gun which has almost zero range. With a gladiator who's spent a long time convinced the floor is lava, so presumably he's quite spry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. I know. I unilaterally withdraw. This is quite poor.
That's sad. Oh,
I'm so sorry.
No, that's fine.
So now what we have is a choice between, basically supportive.
I mean, it's the identical twins, I'm afraid. Fundamentally, the gymnast is having enough time just getting out the door.
I realise this now.
Yeah.
The hipster is busy with his childcare responsibilities.
Yeah.
The twins have nothing except a slightly smelly stick between them and fireballing a gladiator
who's phobic of fire,
reasonable.
If anything, more convinced that the floor is lava if he has actual fireballs.
That's the thing, they can just keep going until the floor is quite literally lava.
They could play up to this, couldn't they? They could reach down and then throw something so he's more convinced that the floor is lava.
I'm afraid I might have finally cleaned that one up.
That's a solid win if ever I saw one.
Well, we're into our final round with James as the referee this time.
Oh, right, okay.
So, James, draw our antagonist whilst the rest of us draw our player cards.
Okay, so the antagonist is the Illuminati. All of them? Not an Illuminati.
No, the whole Illuminati.
The Illuminati, who are 6 inches tall.
And
they are riding a mad scientist.
Actually makes a weird kind of sense.
Yeah, that's a powerful allegory.
Somewhat believable. Mm. That's probably why they've never been seen.
Yeah, because they're hiding in the big bushy hair.
Yeah,
Mel Patton baldness. They're in that.
Yeah, they're within. Yes. Riding their mad scientist who is trying to fix the Mel Patton baldness.
Well then, I feel like it's quite simple enough to have Miley Cyrus, who can take the form of anything water-based.
Wow.
What, like a paint?
I'm thinking more like tsunamis.
Oh, yeah.
Technically all human life, given that we're mostly water.
Ugly bags of mostly water.
Pretty much.
Bags of pond.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sexy flies.
You know what?
Malaria, that's a real killer.
It might be the Illuminati, but how strong are they against just being in the middle of Lake Victoria? I feel like there's quite a lot of plays for Miley Cyrus.
I'm pretty sure that the mad scientist would, between them, have one hydrofoil.
A mad scientist would be uniquely well placed to construct things to defeat a lake.
A lake, yeah.
Like a bridge, perhaps.
Then we'll just...
Or some sort of stilt house.
Then we'll just stick with Miley Cyrus has taken the form of 1,000 hurricanes.
Okay.
Wow.
I described them more as air-based.
Ah.
Awesome.
I would also describe them more as air-based.
Fine. Miley Cyrus has taken the form of all of the oceans on Earth.
Okay.
In one place.
Yes.
At the same time.
Would that be the Earth?
Yes.
In their current positions.
Yes.
Are we just describing Miley Cyrus as some sort of Gaia figure?
Oh, here we go. Miley Cyrus takes the form of all the water on Earth simultaneously and just removes it from the scientists and all of the Illuminati, thus beating them by just...
Turn them into a desiccated
Desiccating
paste.
Them until the...
Yeah. Are you saying that all life on Earth...
is subject to Miley Cyrus's whims? Yes.
That is the strong implication, isn't it?
No, that makes sense. I'm down with that.
Just as long as we're on the same page.
Just saying. Well, guys, so my play is going to be... I get to pick a movie character, and the movie character that I'm going to pick is actually Indiana Jones. Because of his wily, wholehearted, foolhardy nature, mm-hmm. and the fact that his dad is in fact Sean Connery.
Well, he's proven against cults.
And he's armed with a portal gun.
Okay.
So we've given Indiana Jones a portal gun with which to defeat all of the Illuminati while riding their mad scientists.
I quite like the idea of Indiana Jones encountering the boulder coming towards him, puts a portal in the floor, a portal in the ceiling, leaves it just falling, falling for infinity until he meets someone he really doesn't like, and just closes that loop. Boom!
Yeah.
So what I'm going for here is, as the Illuminati are only 6 inches tall, that's going to make a swarm of killer bees a lot more immediate. When you're 6 inches tall and you get one bee
next
to you.
That's a bee the size of a Labrador, isn't it? Labrador that
a killer bee the size of a Labrador. That's...
And definitely not because most of my cards would make that worse. I'm going to give that swarm of killer bees the ability to summon anything from a hardware store. Anything they want.
Like what? That nail gun.
Like a nail gun. Yes.
Currently just left in the middle of the street.
Or Greg from accounts.
Or
just anyone.
Yeah.
Or a lawnmower.
So if each bee can summon one thing, basically what you're doing is summoning a swarm of bees and a hardware store. Just wholesale. Poof.
Just a confused teenager working on a weekend.
Swarm of hardware
How did
stores.
I find myself in the middle of Lake Victoria? Who are you?
He could just spawn the hardware store.
I am. I'm spawning a swarm of hardware stores.
I would point out that spawning a hardware store would make the mad scientist immensely more powerful.
Oh, that is a really good point.
Mm. Again, I point out the word can.
Yeah, that's entirely
also,
fair.
Also, I should point out a hardware store, and it's anything from a hardware store rather than...
How good a hardware store are we talking here?
Homebase? Or like
a B&Q? A small building?
Let's keep listing UK brands that all of the listeners have no idea what we're talking about.
Which is better, an Iron B&Q and Homebase?
That's the real important question here.
How much copyright infringement can we hit before the end of the episode?
Right, well, I'm just going to go... nice and basic. Mm-hmm. So Justin Bieber with a sonic scream.
Basic.
Well, James, pick a direction, left or right?
The opposite way to the way we went last time.
Left, then.
Left.
Okay. Well, you may be Indiana Jones with the portal gun. However...
I'm scared.
It's the final move. So let's shake things up with draw two random attributes. So you're Indiana Jones with a portal gun, who can only move by backflipping and can change into a... I have to pick another card.
Wow, this is actually a train of cards now.
And it has to be a character from your hand.
From my hand?
Yes.
So can change into a... can change into a supermodel.
So to clarify, that's Indiana Jones armed with a portal gun who can only move by backflipping and can change into a supermodel at will.
Very important question.
Mm. Fire away.
Are we talking about Indiana Jones from the old movies or current Indiana Jones from Crystal Skull?
Because there were no new movies, there were only the old movies.
He is in no condition to backflip and therefore cannot move.
No chance. We're not going Crystal Skulls.
Indiana Jones was a trilogy. It was a trilogy.
Yeah, we're talking like, you know.
In which case, classic Harrison Ford probably could have pulled off a backflip or two.
Well, besides, you could just transfer into a supermodel who's capable of backflips at will.
Right then, Martin, your swarm of killer bees who can summon anything from a hardware store. I'm sorry, Martin. I'm going to have to put a bit of a blunter in this because your swarm, well, there's actually only 10 of them.
That was great.
All 10 swarms?
Really
10 swarms?
No, there's only 10 of them.
There are only 10 bees in your swarm. You just lost like 90% of your swarm.
It's just way more than 90%. Yeah. Lovely, very nice.
Oh, sorry, Martin.
I can only apologise.
Yeah, I was imagining a giant army, and now it's just like a faint hug. Is that a bee?
Yeah.
Ah, go away.
Another one.
We'll open the car window.
Is anyone allergic?
Oh, we're fine.
No.
Over.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah.
We'll open the car window. Oh wait, it's already been opened by a flying hammer. Where did that come from?
Well, seeing as how I'm clearly not going to win, I'm going to attempt to win by proxy and multiply the Justin Biebers to
100, Justin
to 100 of them.
Whoa.
Wow.
Messing the game up here.
Just going to throw it out there, though. Gaia Cyrus. Who's beating Gaia Cyrus?
Well, the thing is, you can turn into anything water-based.
Yes.
Which is very powerful, except that you're in a spacesuit.
So, yeah, I can turn into the entirety of the oceans of Earth. In a space suit.
It's a sealed, it's closed. What are you going to do? You're now just an inflated spacesuit.
You're basically...
The question is, how do the laws of physics play into this? Because if I condense all of the oceans on Earth into a spacesuit, what you have there is just a massive explosion. The question is this spacesuit a normal spacesuit? Or is it, you know, a suit that is genuinely I cannot break out of?
I think that's going to be down to the referee.
It's going to be... So you're in a spacesuit. I think you've then got the amount of volume that's within a spacesuit. So if you've got anything that's like the volume of human body, say a seal, then you could maybe transform into that. Or like a lot of herring.
Well, okay.
Actually, you know what? I've just realised this has gone full circle now because we started out with a gelatinous Darth Vader and we finished with Miley Cyrus, who is now water in a spacesuit.
Are we saying that Miley Cyrus is Darth Vader?
That's the point I'm making here, James. Okay. That is the point I want to make.
Open your eyes, sheeple.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and have to remove myself from the running because I feel like a spacesuit full of water is not really going to be bringing a lot to this. Do we allow water elementals? But even then, I'm still in a suit. Like, I feel like I'm out of this. I feel like I'm gone.
I think you're probably right. Yeah. Okay.
Gaia Cyrus in a spacesuit is no more.
The swarm, in inverted commas, of bees is also out.
One of them might drop a hammer on
them. Happenstance is not enough to beat them.
You can drop a hammer on any given Illuminatum.
Yeah.
But, facing the Illuminati here. There's a lot of them.
And they're small targets.
And they're riding mad scientists. So I think at least...
No, that's the entire Illuminati, who are 6 inches tall, riding one mad scientist.
A singular...
So the entire Illuminati are on this mad scientist's shoulders. He isn't going to be using any of the hardware. He's going to be crushed under the weight of 6 inches tall Illuminati.
I would have assumed that we're talking about, if they can all fit on a mad scientist, we're probably talking about the inner circle.
Okay.
You know, the real people who run the world.
Okay.
He's 6 inches tall.
That's why we've never found them.
They're all wearing these novelty glasses that just like pyramids around the eyes. Okay, I think the mad scientist... The mad scientist... firstly, he's going to deal with the bees because the mad scientist is going to have like a rolled up periodical on mad science.
He'll just repurpose his shark repellent spray.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
He's got one of new scientist, one of mad scientist.
Is it new mad scientist?
One of new mad scientist.
One of new scientist, one of old scientists, one of borrowed scientist, one of blue scientist. He's going to a wedding later. Or the supermodel.
Indiana Jones, armed with a portal gun, moving only using backflips, who can change into a supermodel at will.
See, that's funnier, but technically Johnny's would win with the Justin Bieber with the choir of Sonic
Screams. I'm really enjoying this. I haven't been playing the funny ones. No. I've been playing the ones that get the job done.
Yeah, but here's the problem is, you're all just thinking this is a direct confrontation. I mean, what happens if Indiana Jones, who can turn into a supermodel at will, happens to turn into the supermodel that manages to turn the heads of all of the Illuminati, and the mad scientist, and can suddenly just get in behind, whack out the portal gun, boulder to the head. I mean,
that's where he's keeping the orange portal while he's
the orange portal. The boulder's just in blue out.
The Illuminati would see the supermodel. Their hoods are pulled very low,
and they've got the novelty glasses
on. But amazing feet. That's what this supermodel has. Like really amazing feet.
that probably makes all the difference.
That's it. I think that's the clincher.
and for any of the non-heterosexuals, there's Harrison Ford.
That's true. That's true. That's actually very true.
Hey, supermodel doesn't mean woman. Let's just spell that out.
Oh, yeah.
You can have male supermodels.
It doesn't say what sort of supermodel it is. I mean, it might be a catwalk model, or it might be like a really good Airfix one, like a Messerschmitt. And it's been painted really well. Like somebody who's got like the proper paints and they've put all the transfers on.
That's
and like,
good
it's really nice. They put a proper bit of fishing wire on so they can hang
it. Hey, I still maintain that a bunch of the Illuminati people who like secret societies would probably be into a super model still. I think the tactic remains valid.
The thing is, though, I think in terms of likely defences, I don't think that Indiana Jones is more likely than 100 Justin Biebers with sonic screams to be wearing the tinfoil cap that would be required to resist the Illuminati's mind control powers.
Although, I should mention, and I don't want to shoot myself in the foot here, but Justin Bieber is 100% definitely already controlled by the Illuminati. Open your eyes!
Yeah, good point. So that is a good point.
Actually, there's a point. We don't know who is and isn't controlled by the Illuminati.
If anything, though, that just means that when Bieber stabs the Illuminati in the back, they never saw it coming, negating Indiana Jones' advantage of surprise.
Are you saying that Justin Bieber, 100 Justin Biebers, are the New World Order?
I think I am.
You better believe it.
Right,
call
it, James.
I'm out. Call it, James.
I'm so terrified by that prospect. It's got to be Indiana Jones.
Yeah!
Sorry.
Right, well, but
I think that means we're two apiece.
Yeah.
We're two apiece.
Shall we have a quick tiebreaker where we each draw one character,
one card, yeah,
one off attribute, and then we just decide.
And we just decide. Yep. Okay, all right. So, are you happy with this?
I accept this.
All right, fire away.
The player to your left, James Ross.
Hold on, shall I draw mine now? Or do you...
Yes.
Okay, here we go. So I've got an octopus.
Okay.
And James Ross has two peg legs.
See, be a cruel mistress. She took both of my legs in the divorce.
Against an octopus.
Whose hands are covered in butter.
How's their hands? That's calamari. That's what that is. That's all that is.
I feel like, okay, so this octopus isn't giant, it isn't anything else. Okay, so we have a James Ross who's clearly used to the sea encountering what can only be described as dinner.
Yeah. I'm quite hungry, like, quite a lot.
I mean, the octopus
lot.
Would try and grab him, but
it's not giant. It's not giant. Your average octopus, I could just punch it.
That is actually a good point. It is just... It's just a normal size.
I mean,
octopus.
Your average octopus is significantly smaller than
the only thing it would have access to would be the legs, and they're made of wood. It's not going to make any difference.
Actually, guys, I think we've missed a trick here. James Ross.
Hello.
Tell us how you defeat this octopus. I mean, you are in this game.
Yes.
That's a really good point.
Defeat the octopus.
Here's an octopus. It's about the size of both of my hands together, not much more than that.
We're in downtown New York. I'm confronted with a buttery octopus. Statistically, I am in quite a nice restaurant. So how I...
Like, do you send it back and ask for something more appealing?
I either do that or...
I need to get undercooked.
Yeah. Garçon, would you mind? So that's how I deal with that. That'd be my basic approach.
It's a slight anticlimax, but I feel like it's a legitimate winter.
It's not an anticlimax. We've finally had the hero of the piece emerge.
Emerge victorious from the mire.
So I feel like not only Johnny, but James Ross himself is also the winner here.
I think so.
Hey.
I think Superfight is the real winner.
That was a fun
one. You, the listener at home,
are the real winners. Yeah. All of you, individually.
Well,
especially
I think...
you.
So, yep, that's been Meeting the Crew, the first half. There'll be another one, and I think we'll probably play some more Superfight. It's a fun one. But it's been a pleasure to have you all on the show.
And I will see you on another podcast.
Oh, yes, you will.
Where I will scare you.
Well, anyway, that's bye from all of us until next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at @TheRustyQuill, or email us at mail@rustyquill.com. Thanks for listening.
Idea.
That was a very bad idea.
Just to go back, Alex, no, are you saying that this isn't going out live?
It's going out loud to the future.
So what happens to all my swearing racist screeds?
Oh, of course they'll make it through. That's fine.
Good.
That's
good.
Fine. We don't ever edit.
Otherwise,
free speech,
silence.
Man. Free speech. can't silence me. Just because I want to say that, like... Yeah.
Censorship.
And censorship, man. Censorship. Free speech means me being able to say whatever I want to say, whenever I want to say it, and everyone has to listen. That's what free speech is.
And that's an edit point.
That's going to be so much editing. So much editing. Like, he lies through his teeth at Luke. Size matters in the Force. And he struggles with a column. She significantly...
He says size matters not.
We'll take the semantic, you know, differences aside. Martha
I'm glad
Stewart's
that was corrected. I feel we've all been enriched by that.
That's why I'm
we've
here.
Really got somewhere here.
Enriched we've been.
Well, anyway, that's bye from all of us until next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
What is it with you and drops?
The dubstep remix. Oh, you in the house.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.